Say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. Of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake, forgive you all of your sins. Testament reading, which is appointed for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning with verse 2. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots. Bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly of hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening, morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him. What are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness. Behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. When the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God. The gradual is printed. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. Our epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. creates the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature ministry, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up. This is the first four. Please stand for the Alleluia first. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. That remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread and asked the Lord to give thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum. Found him on the other side of the sea and said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. He said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. That says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, which are printed on page 174. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sinned, for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures. But question. Who has time to do a puzzle in the summer anyway? We are so desperately clinging to every last moment in this last week of our school break in summer. We got all these activities we're trying to do outdoors and things like that. So I think probably the puzzle is going to have to wait for a later time, maybe when it's a little bit colder or something like that. But do you remember learning how to put a jigsaw puzzle together? Do you remember being taught, maybe by your parents or somebody else, how to do it and what your strategies would be? I don't think there's just one way to do it. I mean, I think it's probably a pretty common experience that when you start out the puzzle, you dump out all the pieces on the table and you get them all flipped to the right side. And then, it's pretty common to look for those corner pieces and those edge pieces and try to separate those out from the rest. But I know there are folks out there where the first thing they do, even before separating the edges and corners, is to separate all the pieces into piles by color, right? And then you kind of work from there. So if you know what you're looking for, what color you need, you go to that pile. Some people use the box, the picture on the box, as a reference point while you're doing the whole puzzle. Some people think that's cheating. And they'll actually take the time to do the puzzle without having that picture right in front of them. I'm sure there's all kinds of other strategies that you can use as well. But I think one thing that is probably a universal experience when you're doing a puzzle is that sense of satisfaction and accomplishment that you have when you're placing that last piece into the perfect spot. And you can kind of just step back and look at the whole thing and you can just marvel at this beautiful picture that has been created out of what was once a pile of broken. I'd like to suggest to you that all of those kinds of feelings that you might feel as you're doing a puzzle from beginning to end are at least part of what St. Paul is feeling as he was writing his letter to the Ephesians. And I think that comes out here in the way here Paul speaks in chapter 4. As I mentioned, we've been in the book of Ephesians now for the last few weeks, but before that, we're studying the book of 2 Corinthians, and you might remember that I said that 8 to 8. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he was writing to people that he knew very well because he had spent a lot of time in Corinth. Well, the only place that he spent more time than Corinth was the time he spent in Ephesus. So he also knew these people very well, even better. He really knew his audience. He knew their personalities. He knew their fears, their hopes, their dreams, their skills. He knew their potential as a community of believers, what they could do together, united as the body of Christ, how they were equipped for real, meaningful, gospel-driven ministry in a city like Ephesus. So when we read this letter, we get this really unique insight into what was going on in Paul's heart of hearts. He loved these people. But you also get a sense that out of that same love came some frustration, maybe even a little bit of disappointment, that he would have been at least a little concerned about their pride and their lack of unity and some spiritual immaturity. So I want to picture Paul holding the jigsaw puzzle box, and he sees what the future can be and should be. And he looks down at his church, and instead of seeing it's a pile of broken pieces, people that really need to be put back together, be made whole. Now, because the world is broken by sin, it's not like the things that Paul sees when he looks at the Ephesian church are unique to that church. That literally every congregation of Christians at all times, in all places, struggles with these kinds of unity issues, including, of course, all of us here at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Boyle City. We
feel like in our ministry here. You know, we have in our minds that beautiful picture that's on the box, right? When everything is going well, when everyone is living the way that we are called to live according to the Bible. But we also know that that picture, as we do this puzzle together, is not yet complete. There are still pieces that are not in their places. And I would even suggest that there are some pieces that are missing. And there's some pieces that might even be broken or might have fallen off the table and gone to the kids' toys somewhere. It's not a complete picture yet. The church really is kind of like a puzzle. Think about it. Really, every single person who has ever had a connection to this congregation represents one piece. And, you know, there's a lot of times when you're doing a puzzle and it feels like you're on a roll, like everything's fitting where it's supposed to go. You're finding all the pieces that you need, right? Everything's working together well. And I would say, just from my experience over the last 7+ years here, that's how it feels here most of the time. But there's always going to be those other times when there are problems, when there is conflict, when things get a little bit messier. I mean, that's just what happens when we put sinful people together. We just look at that as what may happen. We're not all the same. We don't all think the same or feel the same way about different issues. So there's going to be conflict at times. But you could take the analogy even a step further, and you could say, well, you know, in a congregation like ours, you also look out and see all the different kinds of pieces that you might see in a puzzle, right? Like, we have the corner pieces, you know, the ones that stick out in the puzzle. We've got a few of those pieces. And we've got the edge pieces, the ones that kind of influence the state of how things are going. We've got the middle pieces too, right? Just like in a real puzzle, you would say every single piece is important, every single piece serves a function. If you've ever done most of a puzzle and you come to the end and you've got like 2 pieces missing, 3 pieces missing, how frustrating is that? You take a step back and you look at it and say, well, that's not done. That's not complete. It bothers us, right? We need every piece, or else the future isn't just look right at all. We need every single person. That's the kind of unity that our Lord Jesus Christ expects his followers to have. In that sense, there really is no one piece that is more important than that. And if you'll just allow me to switch the analogies for a moment. But this has also been on my mind, this kind of unity. So, the whole versus the individual. That's one of the things that I've noticed in as we watch the Olympics that are going on right now. And so you watch the Olympics, obviously, there are plenty of individual accomplishments to celebrate. But what you notice is that when these athletes are completed with their individual accomplishments, when they stand on that podium and they've got that medal around their neck and you hear the national anthem of their country being played, it's no longer about them as an individual, right? It's more about the whole nation, the nation's team. Have you ever thought about how interesting, or maybe even ironic is the word to use, that the Summer Olympics always fall on the same cycle in our country as our presidential election for 4 years? The last one in Tokyo didn't fall that way because of COVID. Normally, that's the case, right? That we are going through our presidential elections when the Olympics are on TV. And during election year, that's one of the times when it feels like we are the most divided as a country. Every other first on TV is a political attack. You've noticed it, I've noticed it. But it's kind of nice that for 2 weeks, we are not worried about the time. We're cheering for the stars and stripes. Right? We're rooting for Team USA. We're tuning in to find out what Snoop Dogg is up to. I never thought the DOWG might have been on my stadium, but here we go. So, getting back to this, setting aside individual ambitions, simply living for the good of the body of Christ, the sort of thing that St. Paul's getting at, especially when he says this. He urged the Ephesians to walk with honor, humility, and gentleness. That's what verse 2 says. All humility. In fact, it is impossible for us to do because we are all sinful and we are naturally obsessed with ourselves. We don't naturally want to sacrifice for the other. Right? We can do that at times. We give thanks to God that He gives us the ability to do that, but it's not the first thought that often pops into our minds. So, what can be done about this? Paul suggests, as we go through the scripture, Paul reminds the Ephesians, reminds us that as we look around us, we see sin causing conflict and disunity among the church, among the body of Christ. We're not the ones who are going to be able to solve this by working harder on, you know, putting the puzzle together. It's not going to be ultimately up to us if our skills and our patience are going to make it happen. Instead, Paul wants us to Christ, that Christ is the head of the church, that we are His body, that He's the one that unifies us, that Christ Jesus is the perfect example of unity and peace. And I love how many times Paul uses the word one in our reading today. In fact, he uses it 7 times. He talks about one body, and one spirit, and one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. The point is, we're not going to be able to create a perfect church by, you know, working really hard to say and do all the right things. But actually, because Christ is the head, we are the body. It's already the perfect church. It's the perfect church because it's been made perfect by Christ. When we come together in worship, we are worshiping in His name, perfectly, spiritually. Even when we leave this place, we are so perfectly united by the death and resurrection of Christ, which covers all of us. In verse 6, Paul says, God is over all, and through all, and in all. So, picture that way here to the oils, and God is over all of us here. And He goes through us, and He is in us here. He takes us, and He molds us and shapes us into mature Christians, strong in the faith that has been given to us by grace. He's the one doing the puzzle. He's the one putting it all together. There's nothing that we as individual pieces can say or do to mess that up. There's no sin of ours that hasn't already been covered by the death and resurrection of Christ. So even when we look around us, we can sometimes see those puzzle pieces all over the place, where it seems like pieces are just not fitting together the way we want them to. That's not what God sees. When He looks down upon us and sees His children worshiping in His name, Jesus Christ, what God sees when He looks upon us is the perfect picture on the box. The complete church. The whole church. Our congregation here in Boynton, together with literally thousands of other congregations around the world, living and growing together. And God gets to be the one that, who takes a step back and sees that picture. And marvels. God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. quick updates for the service today. First, I'm happy to announce that both Butch and Elaine Senator are doing very well. They're home after their recent procedures. They're getting stronger every day. And one prayer that is not listed in the bulletin, we will be lifting up in prayer Stuart Cannon. That's the son of Jerry and Carla Cannon. He had surgery this past week, and he's also now back at home. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Heavenly Father, as you provided for the Israelites during their journey through the wilderness to the land you had promised, give us confidence to trust in you. To look to your hand to provide all we need for this life and for the life to come. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, your Son gives us the office of the ministry that your people might be equipped to serve and be built up into His one body. Remember in your compassion all who speak your word, give them faithfulness and honesty in their teaching, and that your children would be free from all to see, to speak your truth to one another in love, growing up in every way into Christ. Bless all of our partners in mission and ministry, especially our sister congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor, Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy, God and Father of all, enable us to walk in humility, gentleness, and patience, that we would bear with one another in love, and be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We give you thanks and praise for all of your good gifts to us. We continue to ask you for seasonal weather and safety for those who are out working in fields or in other dangerous locations. Bless all of those among us who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Daryl, Avery, Nick, Jackie, Nancy, Brad, Roy, and Daniel. We also ask you to be with all married couples, especially those who are celebrating anniversaries, including Michael and Lisa Dinsey. Help them to grow in love for these passing years. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty One, you established civil government to be a blessing. To your mercy, then, we commend our president, our congress, our justices and magistrates, and all who serve the public in any way. Keep them honest, fill them with wisdom, and hold them in every good deed. Watch over all who serve in the armed forces of this land, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tanya, Shannon, and Mike. Lord, in your mercy, show your mercy to the sick and hospitalized and all who are on our prayer list this day, including all who are in care facilities, Greta, Lula, Ronnie, Jim, Charles, and Buddy. We lift before you those who are recovering from recent surgeries, especially Elaine and Stuart. And we also ask you, Lord, to be with all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Eunice, Jim, Dorothy, Marvin, Amy, Tyson, Francie, Brent, Linda, Roland, Butch, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are facing cancer. Provide doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals to care for those who need help and healing. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, you provided manna for your ancient people to sustain them in the wilderness. By your grace, provide the living bread from heaven, the very body of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, that endures to eternal life. Help us to approach your table with thankful and contrite hearts, that we might receive your Son's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, become as people tossed to and fro by the manifold changes of this mortal life. Help us to know in you that which is eternal. Give us confidence in suffering and death of Christ, that we may rejoice that you are with us always, and wait his joyous appearing with all the saints. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, 16. We have to really see the offertory to page 176. Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we received salvation accomplished for us by the all of his sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name of your remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own time. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, for the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but Christ the same night in which he was betrayed and take bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take him, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The peace of the Lord be with you all, my enemies." Thank you. Thank you. I'm God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled to constantly serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is number 815 from All the Twelve of the Saints. Thank you. It's a new month, and it's year for sure. August is when things start to ramp up again. It's in a good way. I'm looking forward to the beginning of the new year. It's going to be here before you know it. Tonight, there is youth night. So I want to invite all of our Club 58 YPS students to come and join us at 6 o'clock this evening. Love to see you there. And also, today, August 4th, officially marks the end of our summer panel pledge project. And so, tomorrow night, there will be a special voters meeting to decide what's next. I want to thank all of you who made your pledges toward that project. And so now, we do our final tally of the pledges that we've received, including those that we've received today. And then tomorrow evening, we invite all of our voters to come and join us at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. And there will be an opportunity to hear an update and to decide what the next steps will be. So please mark that on your calendar. This coming Wednesday, there will be a PTL meeting that will take place over in the old computer lab at school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then coming up, we will have next week the opening school service of the school year. That will be 4 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday, so you can come and join us for that. Also, one other thing that's in your bulletin to me is a happy announcement from Christ Our Rock. There is going to be a back-to-school movie night over at Christ Our Rock Friday evening. That will be 6:30. It is free for kindergarten through 6th grade, and they're going to be watching it sounds like a fun night. Kids get a bag of popcorn and drink. You're encouraged to bring a chair or a blanket with you. So just want to make sure everyone's aware of that movie night on Friday. And with the school year approaching, we have Mr. Shaw, first schoolman of the new school year. Come on, Mr. Shaw.
Very good, 12 twins. What is the first thing you school?
Yes.
Thank you. August is 12. It's like, it's funny, it's a school, but August is 12. They put it for you to this time. So, anyway, it's an exciting thing. We have been blessed with a full faculty and staff. We are ready for this presentation. She's going to be teaching her first work with Ben. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for church today.
Have a blessed week.